This is the On All Cylinders podcast,
powered by Summit Racing.
Your host for today is Summit Racing's Justin Weideman with special guest Casey Curry from Curry Enterprises.
Here we go.
Welcome to another On All Cylinders podcast episode. And this time around, I'm your host, Justin, with Summit Racing. And we have a very special guest with us today, Casey Curry of Curry Enterprises. What's going on, Casey? How are you today? And thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here. It's a beautiful 83 degree day in California, so it's warming up.
So, Casey, let's talk about Curry Enterprises. You guys have a really cool story, and it's a really cool company. You do a little bit of everything, so I'll let you tell your story and just get right into it.
Yeah, so we are three generations. We've been in business for over 60 years. My grandfather started it. He started it basically, his full-time job was working at a company called Taylor Dunn. They focus on industrial carts for doing all kinds of stuff, from chicken coops, from picking up chicken eggs, to industrial carts running around large buildings. And basically on the side, he was manufacturing 9-inch rear ends to go into those carts. And basically that's where the love for the 9-inch rear end came in. And my dad and my uncles, from the time they were 13, 14 years old, were basically assembling those rear ends and manufacturing them and narrowing them up to fit in the carts. And then it's funny, my dad is a fan of off-road racing. My uncle is my one uncle is a fan of rock crawling and jeeping. And my other uncle is a big fan of muscle cars and hot rods. My grandpa was a fan of all three of them. But with that, they took the 9-inch and they started building them for off-road applications. They started building it for Jeep applications. And then they really focused on the muscle car hot rod market as well. With all three brothers, they had a unique dynamic, and with their passion being the muscle car hot rod, Jeeps, and trucks, it felt natural for them to build rear ends for all their buddies. And now here we are 60 years later, and I'm a very unique one. I grew up with my dad working for Curry and working a lot of crazy hours to make the business successful, and I grew up with a grandpa that was retired. So my hobbies include off-road racing. Obviously, that's how I make part of my living. And I'm a huge Jeep fan. And I also am a muscle car fan. So I got the dynamic growing up around my grandpa and my dad and my uncles. Like, here we are back into doing a little bit of everything again. But Curry is it's a passion project. I feel that from the beginning, you know, my grandpa was a huge family man. And it was about keeping the family together and keeping them tight. And at the same time, treating all their customers as friends. So putting product under their vehicles was easy because they knew it was good. And with that, my dad and uncles took the same type of dynamic. Yeah, that's what they did for the last 45, 50 years themselves. And then now I'm doing the same thing. I truly love what Curry is about. Obviously, it's a family-owned business. And at the same time, I love to treat every customer as a friend. And if we're going to put an axle or rear end or a third member into a vehicle, you know, I want to make sure that it's the right fit for the car or for the Jeep. So that way everyone's happy. And if we see somebody out on the track or, you know, on a trail, they're going to be completely happy with what we get. But yeah, we're based out of Southern California. We're right at like 60,000 square feet of manufacturing facility. And yeah, we're big advocate of development, R&D, and, you know, progression. So we have a lot of new products coming. We've designed and created a lot of new products over the years. And, you know, we try to be leading edge, but we also try to be price competitive so that we can give the customer what they want without having to break the bank.
Not only is a Curry an American-owned and American-made company, but you can get some kind of Curry product for just about everything you drive. And we're big about that here at Summit Racing.
Absolutely. And we try to have things that are in stock. So if you want to work on your car on the weekend, you order by Thursday and, you know, Summit's going to be able to get it to you by Friday and you're working on your hobby on Saturday.
Speaking of Curry Summit projects, we actually did something really cool together, Casey. So let's tell the folks about that.
Well, I'm blessed to have the opportunity to come visit the Summit warehouse, which is a very unique experience. But, you know, getting to put a set of axles in a Jeep Gladiator was very unique in the warehouse. So, yeah, you guys basically wanted to build something that is capable. It's, you know, drive it on the street every day, but at the same time, you know, be able to take it on all the most difficult black diamond type trails and feel comfortable that you're going to be able to get home at the end of the night.
Yeah, and that's our goal. So with our Roman Gladiator project, we hooked up with Casey and got a set of his crate axles for our 2023 JT. That's the Rock Jock in the front and then the HD60 in the rear, I believe.
So what you have now is our HD60 program, which is basically our heavy duty program where it allows you to utilize your stock brakes and it allows you to utilize your stock outers in the front. It's more cost effective, but still allows you to run the larger tires.
Yeah, and that's what it was all about. And that was one of the cool things, you know, when we were doing the swap is we actually popped a factory axle out of one of our 44s. And just to see the axle size difference and what parts you're putting in versus what you're taking out, I mean, there's so much strength there. And they were so well built and they literally bolted in. Like we had axles out and in an afternoon. It was super easy.
We really try to focus on making it as easy as we can to get it bolted in, bolted out. And truly, the crazy thing is the axle size, you know, from stock to the aftermarket axles that we have in there with our, you know, our Curry 1480 axle shafts are there. It's absolutely massive. And in the rear, we go from stock, I think it's 31 spline to 40 spline chromoly. So massive, massive strength differences.
Yeah, there's lots of beef there. And I can't wait to get out on the trail and use and abuse them. And that's going to be the last thing on my mind is an axle breakage.
Well, I'm ready to be there as well. So I enjoy jeeping myself.
We got to get out there and get a Jeep trip planned.
100%. All spring, all summer, and all fall, I'll go anywhere, anytime.
I'd like to treat wheeling as it's an all-year event.
It really is. Because, I mean, especially now with the Jeeps being so friendly with air conditioning and roll-up windows and a top that has insulation in it, it really makes it comfortable winter or summer.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how that market has changed. And I guess we're a little bit blessed now from the new rigs to like YJs and TJs. No top. I'm getting a suntan, sunburn if you're me, because I don't tan. You're out there in the elements. And now in these new JKs, JLs, JTs, they're comfortable. It's nice. It's a little bougie and I can appreciate it.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually own a TJ that I bought off my grandpa. And in the summertime, the soft top gets a little warm inside. The air conditioner cannot keep up on a 110 degree day.
It humbles you a little bit. Now, the one thing I do like about the TJs versus the newer Jeeps is I do love the sound of that 4-liter. That 4.0 on the limiter is a noise that we cannot replace.
Do not disagree.
So one of your, I guess you can't even call it a hobby. You have to, because you're a professional. Let's let's get into your off-road racing career because it's really impressive. And you've been all over God's Green Earth racing, which I think is even cooler.
Yeah, it's been a very wild adventure, but I raced, you know, like grew up racing dirt bikes and then always growing up in California, watching my dad race off. My dad was a big fan of off-road racing. So we'd go out and he raced the stock class and we'd go out and watch some of the, you know, guys like Robbie Gordon. And, you know, it's cool to be able to grow up around that stuff and just truly grew up loving it. And, wild story. I ended up going out to dinner with my dad with a vendor. They were in California pitching an idea for their SEMA vehicles to Nissan North America. And I was like, man, if I ever got the opportunity to build a car or build a SEMA car, this is my idea. Like just running my mouth at a dinner. And sure enough, my dad got a phone call the next day going, hey, they denied all of our ideas for SEMA. So we just threw out your son's idea and they green lighted the idea. So now we feel obligated to allow your son to build a truck. So I ended up building, it was the first year of the newer body style Frontier, I think 2007. I ended up building a short course looking truck, completely created this concept around having a truck that looked like a race car, but it was completely drivable on the street. And we built it, got to go to SEMA and present it to, you know, the corporate side of Nissan, and ended up meeting the motorsports manager. And he liked my presentation and heard through the grapevine, obviously me telling everyone that I want to race, that I wanted to race. And he basically came up and gave me an offer that if I could help create some funding, he would support me as a factory racer to go racing. And from there, that moment on, it took off. So I became a short course off-road racer for Nissan for many years. I won a championship. And then when Nissan got a new CEO, they left the sport. And at that point, I was like, well, screw it. I'll go ahead and put a Jeep. I'll make a Jeep body for my truck so I can help my dad sell Jeep parts. And ended up turning out to be the craziest dynamic I ever did. And from that, new brands got involved with the company and my race program because not a lot of Jeeps are shown on television racing. And yeah, I basically started racing Jeeps, and then people wanted me to build Jeeps. And then I started building crazy exotic Jeeps with independent front suspension and coilovers and bypasses and big V8s and lower down Jeeps with, you know, big power and all, just all these unique vehicles. And then it just kept evolving and evolving to where it is today with racing around the world and traveling the world, showing off vehicles and going and literally racing King of Port. I won the King of Portugal. I've raced, you know, I got then getting into rally racing, which is a whole nother story, but basically traveling all over racing King of the Hammer type vehicles all over the world. And then from that, falling in love with traveling and created the idea to race rally. Monster Energy supported it. And then from there, we started racing rally, which then turned into racing Dakar and falling in love and doing well at it to the point where, yeah, I traveled, shoot, I think it was 10 countries in a year for 4 years in a row, and getting the opportunity to win the Dakar Rally in 2020 in Saudi Arabia, and winning the Baja 1000 three times. I've won the Baja 500, Vegas Torino. I mean, basically, I've won the Mint 400. Every big American race, plus the ones in Mexico, plus around the world, we've been very blessed to take the checkered flag first. So it's been a crazy adventure.
The list of your accomplishments in your racing career is absolutely insane. There is something about racing through the desert in a machine at 100 plus miles an hour that I still can't wrap my head around. Just try to describe that feeling to the people.
The crazy thing about Mexico type racing or desert racing is the fact that once you start, you're not finished until you're finished. And then there is no stages and there's no breaks. So it's on your mark, it's a go. It's timed, meaning you race your clock. So you're not actually racing anybody else. You're racing your clock. You need to have a faster clock than anybody else. But there's no one starts right next to you. With that, yeah, basically you're going as fast as you can. Sometimes through cities, sometimes through cornfields, sometimes through agricultural. You'll go through, you know, basically livestock. Horses, anything that the, you know, Baja can throw at you, because what's crazy is that you're basically racing on, you know, one road that's shut down, but all the other roads are not shut down. So you got to be, you know, it's the wild, wild west. My trophy Jeep will do 126 miles an hour. And, you know, you do get the opportunity to pre-run it and you got to make your own notes, but I mean, you're basically driving blind, wide open all the time. And, you know, the limiting factor is how capable your vehicle is to when you need to not push it so hard so that you have a problem. So it's up to 100. There's trucks that will do 140 miles an hour, and the races go from the San Felipe 250 is 4 hours, and then the Baja 1000 roughly is 20. The fastest guy will be 21 hours. And, you know, there's guys that take 46 to 50 hours to get done. So it's straight through. There's no sleeping. So all the pit crews, everybody has to basically stay awake or, you know, take naps in the back of the car. So there's no sleeping in Baja.
You know, that stint from when the dirt bikes leave at 3 a.m. and then the trucks are leaving at 10 a.m. Until the first trucks are rolling in, you know, 24, 30 hours later. Is that stuff's crazy. I think that's got to be the nuts. The guys that A, race it on dirt bikes, and B, Ironman it, when a Baja truck scoots by you when it's dark outside, has to be really interesting. And I'm trying to find out what that's all about.
Yeah, adrenaline rush is crazy. I mean, what's crazy for the pit crew is normal pit crew is like, you know, a pit stop will be 1 to 3 minutes. You'll drive for 3 or 4 hours, stop, get set up, do a 2-minute pit, adrenaline rush through the roof, and then drive 3 or 4 more hours until you see him again.
So Baja is, you know, that's endurance, long point-to-point racing. Let's get into King of the Hammers and kind of talk about the differences and even the build-out differences of your race cars.
So King of the Hammers is one of the most unique events I do. It is 250 miles long with, let's call it, 75 miles of rocks that take 4 hours, and 175 miles of desert that take 2.5 hours, which you lose it in the rocks. You lose it in the rocks every year, but you got to be the first one to the rocks to have the opportunity to be up front. So it's a strategy. It's a crazy strategy. And the vehicles have to be capable of driving over, you know, Volkswagen size rocks all day long. The abuse that the Hammers does on a vehicle is absolutely insane. And it is grueling. And there is every rock that you drive over has the opportunity to take you out of the race. It is just absolutely insane what the vehicles are capable of doing as far as the rocks and the, you know, the smashing into rocks all day and winching and climbing vertical walls and dropping off vertical walls and sand flying and he's nerfing and passing and when are you going to fuel and put tires in the car? There's just a lot that goes with it.
I can't even imagine. That was actually one of my favorite clips from Hammer this year. It's during qualifying and you're coming down backdoor, and on backdoors is obstacle where it has, there's a giant rock shelf in the middle of it. And you just come floating over that thing, making it look like it's just a curb on somebody's driveway.
It's crazy how it's like, yes, like I actually raced just for me, I say fun. I raced in 2018, I raced a two-door JK. No, it's 2017. I raced a two-door JK in the stock class. And, like, it was the gnarliest day I've ever had. Like, here I took a JK, big axles, you know, it was only on 35-inch tires. And to do, like, half the rock trails took four times as long. And then there's trails that, like, in a Jeep, if you're not trying to do a bunch of body damage, will take 3 to 4 hours to do a Jeep trail that in my Hammers car, I can do in 3 to 5 minutes.
Explain the difference between the stock cars all the way up to like 4,400 and 4,800 cars, just to let the folks know the build difference. Like, this is truly mild to wild.
Yeah, like the Trophy Jeep is 850 horsepower, 30 inches of wheel travel, 40 inch old tires, coilover and bypasses, independent front suspension, portals in the front. It's a 4-speed transmission, 2-speed transfer case. It's got a locking sprag. There's a lot of moving parts in here.
Yeah, and that's like full out race car. And you guys are running the same course that, like you said, a stock Jeep with a cage and some kind of just a race prep is running the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. It is unique. Like there's stock UTVs that can drive the whole race course.
I guess that's kind of what the UTV movement has changed, is it kind of has made it, it's made it accessible for a lot of people that normally wouldn't get to see it. You know, 20 years ago, you had to build a rig if you wanted to go some of these places. Now with side-by-sides, you can go in, get a side-by-side, do a couple odds and ends, and they're really capable, and you can go do all sorts of crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah. The UTV market it's definitely made a lot more people able to see the Hammers and, you know, those unique type of trails. And I mean, even the capability of Jeeps now, like you look at even the Jeep Gladiator that you guys built, what that thing is capable of doing is just, it's unreal. It's just the pace is not the same as the Ultra 4 cars.
The suspension is kind of going to be your limiting factor there. But even on our previous Jeep build, our JL, that was all bolt-ons. I didn't put a single weld-on or heavily modified part on it. That thing went all over. It was truly capable for something that you can just do bolt-ons. And yeah, I get why people like them so much.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty amazing. And the cool part is, just like you said, there's no more cutting and grinding like there used to be.
If you want to get into that, you can, like if you want to do some crazy stuff. But if not, Jeep companies have just made this so awesome. Like your Curry axles, literally bolt on. It took longer to take the old brakes on and off and get all that situated than it was to do anything else. And that was a nice part, being able to reuse all our brakes, you know, save us a little bit of money, but it gives you kind of an upgrade stone. Like if I want to go to one ton outers eventually, that is an option. But if I want to stay with five lug stuff, that's cool too.
Yeah, no, there's definitely options are out there for sure. So that, yeah, absolutely. And like you're saying, it's one of those things, stepping stones is a unique thing about Jeeps as well, because you can just keep doing upgrades as you go along. And the more you learn of what your style is going to be.
So I kind of want to talk about your other Jeep too a little bit. One of the cool things you did this year during a Daytona Supercross is you kind of put on a little show in your Jeep. And let's talk about that, because it was really cool.
Oh, so I decided that we needed, I wanted to be able to give ride-alongs in a Jeep, but I needed to do it on the pavement. So it's going to be, I got to be able to drift. So I was like, well, why don't I build a drift Jeep? And took a Jeep JL 4xE and put an LSX 454, you know, something small and moderate. And basically took a LSX 454, put a Trimic 5-speed transmission in it, a 4.9-inch rear end. We put a coilovers on it, all four corners. And I made a vehicle a Jeep that can basically drift around and smoke the tires and just give amazing rides and show. I mean, what's crazy, it's all the geometry is a stock Jeep. You know, you're able to give these rides and show the experience in a parking lot, which just stokes out everybody, and people think it's cool to see as well.
That's the cool part, is a lot of people don't ever get that opportunity to just skid around in a car like that, let alone ride in something that has that much power. You know, you're basically like Santa Claus, bringing joy to people.
I love that.
Well, you do have a red Jeep, so, you know, you're not that. You just need a beard and a couple of reindeer, and you're right there, Casey.
I'm trying to lose weight right now, but I mean, I feel good about, that would make me feel better about gaining weight.
Yeah, you know, Christmas cookies never discriminated. So you're super into Jeeps, but another, I guess, passion project of yours is your sweet Camaro. And let's get into that and talk about that build, because the thing is absolutely gorgeous. And I've seen the car probably 15 times at this point, and I didn't put two and two together that it was yours until about 3 months ago.
Yeah, I'm actually building, I have my first big project that I built was a 1967 Camaro. It has a Detroit Speed front clip with a Detroit Speed rear clip. It's mini tubbed in the back. It's got our Curry rear end in it, obviously. But I did a fabricated rear end in it. It's got 35 spline axles, which is bigger than what most people run. And I did a full float rear end with bare brakes. I actually just had the TMI did a complete interior in it from their catalog. So it was custom made for my colors, but it's one of their catalog seats. So the interior is absolutely phenomenal. I'm actually redoing the wrap right now to get it ready for the Hot Rod Power Tour this summer. But yeah, it's a complete driving car. I've driven it across the country 3 times already. I'm not a person that it's a show vehicle. I drive it. Rain, shine, hot, cold. I love to drive. And that's one of my big things. I love to just be on the open road and burn and feel. So yeah, the 67 Camaro was kind of a dream built for me to get into the marketplace and just feel my vibe of what I love. And then if we're going to roll into the car thing real quick, I'm building a 1965 Ford Mustang. I like the smaller Mustang. So I've taken the Mustang. It's got a TCI front clip, TCI rear clip. Our same rear end, I did a fabricated 9-inch rear with full float axles in it. It's got Ridetech Fox coilovers on it. And then I did, because I don't like anything basic, I put the Ford Illuminator motor in that. So it'll be right at 650 horsepower with a Trimic 5-speed transmission. And then I will do the custom interior on that when it comes time. I'm not right now to get that motor in training in the car. We ended up pushing it back like 4 inches into the firewall, which means I had to make a custom firewall turn into a bigger project. But it's in the works. And then I have a 1968 Chevy C10 that I had TCI make me a complete custom chassis for. And then I put an LS3 in it. I got an LS3 with a 4L80. It's going to be a cruiser. I have a very unique look that I'm going for on that with tires and wheels that it's going to have the same size tires front and rear with the same offset front and rear, which is unique because most people do a different offset in the front versus the back. And then I also own a 1932 sedan. So that is basically all original that my grandfather built. And that's just a car that I'm going to keep for my museum if I ever own one. If I ever have a museum one day.
We're manifesting that here right now. Is I think the Casey Curry Museum will be a thing, and I can't wait to visit. You're basically, it's like Don Gartlis has his own museum, so why can't you?
Right. I just truly love like what we do. I'm very passionate. All my money, I always say that my kids aren't going to be able to afford to go to college, but I'll have a nice car for them to drive to college. But I truly love what we do. And I feel the only way to make sure that our brand is staying up to the latest and greatest and making sure that the quality of our product is the fact that I'm going to run it in my vehicles. So I really make sure that is what we do.
And that's a really cool and kind of a testament to the brand is like, you're not just out here making parts, you're using them every day, you're testing them because it is your passion. A Curry rear end is the last thing that power goes through before it hits the ground. So keeping it all planted and having something strong that you know is going to not let you down and be broke down on the side of the road is fantastic.
For sure. Absolutely for sure.
So what's the rest of your year look like event-wise? Do you have anything cool planned? Where can some of these people see you?
So we, right now I'm leaving in a week for Jeep Beach. I'll be at Jeep Beach for, you know, the 7 or 8 days of Daytona, Florida. We are going to be going to the Hot Rod Power Tour in June. We're actually doing a trip called Road. I think you guys are going to be part of it. We're going to do a trip called Road to Reno, a part of Hot August Nights. So we're just going to drive drive all our cars from California up to Reno. So that'll be fun. And then I'm going to do probably Vegas to Reno for the Trophy Jeep in August. I mean, I got a bunch of UTV trips planned. And then jeeping wise, oh, we go to Sand Hollow in October. And then, in June, I'm going to be also go to the Baja 500 and take down. I'm building a new Jeep right now, and I'm going to take it down to Baja and go enjoy the day.
Busy, busy bee you are, Casey Curry.
We try to be.
That's what makes it fun, though.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree that we just love it.
So, guys, we're getting ready to finish up here. For all your Curry products and more, head over to summitracing.com and see our full selection. If you're not exactly sure what you need, make sure to call into that Summit Racing hotline so those folks over there will be able to get you taken care of. Casey, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. This has been a lot of fun.
No, I appreciate it, man. Always a pleasure talking to you, Justin.
So, guys, until next time, I'm Justin with Summit Racing. We have Casey Curry here with Curry Enterprises. Thanks again, Casey, and we'll see you guys later.
This has been the On All Cylinders podcast.
Powered by Summit Racing.
Check out new episodes coming soon at onallcylinders.com.
Onallcylinders.com.
Thanks for listening.
See you next time.